Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. President Obama is starting a news conference. He's in an opening statement where he's laying out specific things that he thinks Congress can do now to create jobs. Let's listen.
Many of these ideas have been tied up in Congress for some time. But as I said, all of them enjoy bipartisan support, and all of them could help grow the economy. So I urge Congress to act on these ideas now. Of course, one of the most important and urgent things we can do for the economy is something that both parties are working on right now, and that's reducing our nation's deficit. Over the last few weeks, the Vice President has been leading negotiations with Democrats and Republicans on this issue, and they've made some real progress in narrowing down the differences. As of last week, both parties had identified more than $1 trillion worth of spending cuts already. But everyone also knows that we'll need to do more to close the deficit. We can't get to the $4 trillion in savings that we need by just cutting the 12% of the budget that pays for things like medical research and education funding and food inspectors and the weather service. And we can't just do it by making seniors pay more for Medicare. So we're going to need to look at the whole budget, as I said several months ago. And we've got to eliminate waste wherever we find it and make some tough decisions about worthy priorities. And that
means we're going to just flip over to Melinda Henneberger from Time Magazine for just a second, because, Melinda, at the end of that opening statement, the president said he wants Congress to move forward on some of these things. We spent a lot of the show today with various guests, most of whom said that there isn't much left that the government can do after the big stimulus, after the QE2 from the Federal Reserve Board. And here the president comes out right on cue at the end of the show and says, okay, here are new things that Congress can do to help create jobs. What did he propose?
Well, what he said amounted to the same thing your earlier guest said. Even though he said there's a lot Congress can do, I don't think it sounded like there's a lot Congress can do. One thing he mentioned was making it easier for entrepreneurs to get patents. I'm not sure how many millions of Americans that puts back in the workforce immediately. Mm-hmm. He also talked about loans to small businesses that would put construction workers back to work, and ensuring that we give the middle class a tax cut for one more year.
It's not exactly the New Deal.
No.
All right, let's go back to the news conference.
If we choose to keep tax breaks for oil and gas companies that are making hundreds of billions of dollars, then that means we've got to cut some kids off from getting a college scholarship. That means we've got to stop funding certain grants for medical research. That means that food safety may be compromised. That means that Medicare has to bear a greater part of the burden. Those are the choices we have to make. So the bottom line is this: any agreement to reduce our deficit is going to require tough decisions and balanced solutions. And before we ask our seniors to pay more for health care, before we cut our children's education, before we sacrifice our commitment to the research and innovation that will help create more jobs in the economy, I think it's only fair to ask an oil company or a corporate jet owner that has done so well to give up that tax break that no other business enjoys. I don't think that's real radical. I think the majority of Americans agree with that. So the good news is, because of the work that's been done, I think we can actually bridge our differences. I think there's a conceptual framework that would allow us to make huge progress on our debt and deficit and do so in a way that does not hurt our economy right here and right now. And it's not often that Washington sees both parties agree on the scale and the urgency of the challenge at hand. Nobody wants to put the creditworthiness of the United States in jeopardy. Nobody wants to see the United States default. So we've got to seize this moment, and we have to seize it soon. The Vice President and I will continue these negotiations with both leaders of both parties in Congress for as long as it takes. And we will reach a deal that will require our government to live within its means and give our businesses confidence and get this economy moving. So with that, I will take your questions. I've got my list here, starting off with Ben Feller, Associated Press.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'd like to follow up on the comments you just made as you try to reach a deal to raise the debt limit and cut the deficit. You keep saying that there needs to be this balanced approach of spending cuts and taxes, but Republicans say flatly they won't.
That they don't want a balanced approach.
They don't want any. They don't want any tax increases, as they put it. Yeah. And the House Speaker says not only that he doesn't support that, but that plan will not pass the House. So my question is, will you insist ultimately that a deal has to include those tax increases that you just laid out? Is that an absolute red line for you? And if it is, can you explain to us how that can possibly get through the Congress?
Look, I think that what we've seen in negotiations here in Washington is a lot of people say a lot of things to satisfy their base or to get on cable news, but that hopefully leaders at a certain point rise to the occasion. And they do the right thing for the American people. And that's what I expect to happen this time. Call me naive, but my expectation is that leaders are going to lead. Now, I just want to be clear about what's at stake here. The Republicans say they want to reduce the deficit. Every single observer who's not an elected official, who's not a politician, says we can't reduce our deficit in the scale and scope that we need to without having a balanced approach that looks at everything. Democrats have to accept some painful spending cuts that hurt some of our constituencies and we may not like. And we've shown a willingness to do that for the greater good, to say, look, there's some things that are good programs, they're nice to have, we can't afford them right now. I, as Commander-in-Chief, have to have difficult conversations with the Pentagon saying, you know what, there's fat here, we're going to have to trim it out. And Bob Gates has already done a good job identifying $400 billion in cuts, but we're going to do more. And I promise you, the preference of the Pentagon would be not to cut anymore because they feel like they've already given. So we're going to have to look at entitlements. And that's always difficult politically. But I've been willing to say we need to see where we can reduce the costs of health care spending and Medicare and Medicaid in the out years, not by shifting costs onto seniors, as some have proposed, but rather by actually reducing those costs. But even if we're doing it in a smart way, that's still tough politics, but it's the right thing to do. So the question is, if everybody else is willing to take on their sacred cows and do tough things in order to achieve the goal of real deficit reduction, then I think it would be hard for the Republicans to stand there and say that the tax break for corporate jets is sufficiently important that we're not willing to come to the table and get a deal done. Or we're so concerned about protecting oil and gas subsidies for oil companies that are making money hand over fist, that's the reason we're not going to come to a deal. I don't think that's a sustainable position. And the truth of the matter is, if you talk to Republicans who are not currently in office, like Alan Simpson, who co-chaired my bipartisan commission, he doesn't think that's a sustainable position. Pete Domenici, Republican, co-chaired something with Alice Rivlin, the Democrat, says that he doesn't think that's a sustainable position. You can't reduce the deficit to the levels that it needs to be reduced without having some revenue in the mix. And the revenue we're talking about isn't coming out of the pockets of middle-class families that are struggling. It's coming out of folks who are doing extraordinarily well and are enjoying the lowest tax rates since before I was born. If you're a wealthy CEO or health hedge fund manager in America right now, your taxes are lower than they have ever been. They're lower than they've been since the 1950s. And you can afford it. You'll still be able to ride on your corporate jet. You're just going to have to pay a little more. And if we, I just want to emphasize what I said earlier. If we do not have revenues, that means there are a bunch of kids out there who are not getting college scholarships. If we do not have those revenues, then the kinds of cuts that would be required might compromise the National Weather Service. It means that we would not be funding critical medical research. It means that food inspection might be compromised. And you know, I've said to some of the Republican leaders, you go talk to your constituents, the Republican constituents, and ask them, are they willing to compromise their kids' safety so that some corporate jet owner continues to get a tax break? And I'm pretty sure what the answer would be. So we're going to keep on having these conversations. And my belief is that the Republican leadership in Congress will hopefully sooner rather than later come to the conclusion that they need to make the right decisions for the country, that everybody else has been willing to move off their maximalist position. They need to do the same.
You think they will get that?
My expectation is that they'll do the responsible thing. Chuck Todd.
Thank you, Mr. President. There have been a lot of questions about the constitutional interpretations of a few decisions you've made. So I just simply ask, do you believe the War Powers Act is constitutional? Do you believe that the debt limit is constitutional, the idea that Congress can do this? And do you believe that marriage is a civil right?
Well, that was a hodgepodge. We're going to assign you to the Supreme Court, man. I'm not a Supreme Court justice, so I'm not going to put my constitutional law professor hat on here. Let me focus on initially the issue of Libya. I want to talk about the substance of Libya because there's been all kinds of noise about process and congressional consultation and so forth. Let's talk about concretely what's happened. Muammar Gaddafi, who prior to Osama bin Laden was responsible for more American deaths than just about anybody on the planet, was threatening to massacre his people. And as part of an international coalition under a UN mandate that is almost unprecedented, we went in and took out air defense systems so that an international coalition could provide a no-fly zone, could provide humanitarian protection to the people on the ground.
Live coverage of the beginning of President Obama's news conference. This will certainly go on for a while, and as our show comes to an end here in a couple of minutes, you can watch it streaming live on our politics website. It's a free country. .org, if you so choose. It's a free country.org. But the news there was the president calling for a balanced approach to deficit reduction as the debt ceiling deadline approaches this summer. He says that means painful spending cuts that Democrats won't like and tax hikes that Republicans won't like. He framed it as tax cuts for corporate jets or oil company subsidies versus cuts to health care for seniors, food safety inspections, medical research, and the National Weather Service. Not sure Americans consider the Weather Service the best advertisement for tax hikes, but we could leave that aside. He cited Republican former Senators Alan Simpson and Pete Domenici taking the same position. Melinda Henneberger, who writes about politics for Time magazine, is back with us for these last couple of minutes. And Melinda, whether he's right or wrong on the issue, here we have a president about to stand for re-election calling a news conference to argue for higher taxes.
Well, I think he's right that he's on the facts that economists feel that that there's no way we can get to what he calls the balanced approach. There's no way we can get to $4 trillion in cuts without balancing the cuts in the 12% that we're looking at of the spending with some tax increases. So I think that's just a fact that he's stating, but it's also a political fact that the Republicans are not going to go for that. I just don't see how that occurs. So instead of tax hikes, will his plan B be closing tax loopholes?
And maybe we should have a call in for corporate jet owners to make your case. Closing tax loopholes. I know the Wall Street Journal editorial page today tries to call on the Tea Party to rise up against the idea of phasing out tax deductions at the highest income, which doesn't look like a rate increase, but it still, in effect, becomes a tax hike on the rich. Do you think that's the approach that he's going to take? Once you make $300,000 a year, whatever it is, then you don't get as much home mortgage interest deduction, maybe child deduction, whatever?
It could be. I mean, it seems that they're going to have to find some kind of fallback position like that. I thought tonally I was a little surprised in the way he came across. I can understand his frustration, but, you know, he sometimes resorts to sarcasm. And when he talks about the Republicans saying things to satisfy their base and get on cable news and says, call me naive, but I expect leaders to lead, I'm not sure how effective that is if his real audience is Republicans he's got to negotiate with as much as it is the American public.
All right. Melinda Henneberger, writing about politics for Time Magazine. Thanks for dropping in for a few minutes.
Thank you.
And again, listeners, you have a choice if you want to keep watching the president's news conference. We're streaming the live video at our politics website. It's afreecountry.org or the Leonard Lopate Show, as usual, coming up next on WNYC 93.9 FM and AM 820. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.